welcome to OneSpan's Prediction Podcast, where we give you our top predictions for the future of innovation, cybersecurity, and digital transformation for today's digital-enabled businesses. Today, we're going to be casting our sights to 2021 and what the coming year might have in store for banks, fintechs, and other financial institutions. I'm Sarah Dixon. Today are Connor Hickey, Director of Solution Engineering, and Dan McLaughlin, Principal Technical Account Manager at OneSpan. We'll also hear insights from OneSpan's Chief Technology Evangelist, Benoit Granger. So Dan, Connor, welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. We're obviously looking at 2021 and what might be in store for the financial services industry, but let's just cast our minds back to 2020. How's it been for you, Connor?
2020 has, you know, as for everybody, has been a challenging year. I think, you know, in the area of digital account opening and onboarding, which I focus on, I think, you know, ironically, it's been quite an exciting time because of that accelerated move to fully digital onboarding processes. So it's been quite hectic and quite exciting as well, but obviously challenging as well at the same time.
Obviously, 2020 was an unusual year for many businesses, with the effects of the pandemic causing financial institutions to close physical locations, move working practices, and often move their services online too. Can you tell us a little bit about what banks might expect in 2021?
So I think we'll see a very fast-paced adoption of new technologies by financial services, by the banking industry. So things like we've seen biometrics being adopted this year. We'll see that accelerate. We know that NFC is something that's going to be an area for identity verification that will become more prominent next year. So I think just that acceleration of the digitization programs that were put in place.
Brilliant. So it sounds like everything's going to be moving very fast next year. Do you see it slowing down at all as things go back to normal? Or do you think this acceleration is going to keep continuing?
Personally, I think it's going to continue. I think we've gone through 9 months. We'll go through 12 months of, you know, this new normal, as it was called, back at the start of the year. You know, and I don't think we'll see that return after 12 months, see a return back to what we had previously. So I personally see that it will just be a continuation of the path, the digitization path that we're on, remote transactions, remote interactions.
So Dan, I want to pick up on this topic of remote transactions and remote interactions, because from what I'm reading is that while the pandemic has advanced digitization, it's also led to an increase in online fraud. So more people interacting with their bank, interacting with transactions online, and therefore actually more online fraud. So can you tell us a little bit about that? And if you think that will be a trend that continues into 2021?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, looking back at 2020, there was a big push to move more and more customers who would be your more traditional branch using customers to an online space due to the pandemic. So we've got people who are maybe less comfortable with technology, maybe those ones that we might want to call the vulnerable customers, along with others who are just, you know, don't want to work in a mobile tech-based environment. And that means that there's a large opportunity there for social engineering to attack these users who are likely to be easily led down a fraud route. And that's only going to continue in 2021. I think more and more people have had phone calls from you know, banks or merchants, or people pretending to be from banks and merchants or card providers. You know, I've certainly seen, you know, myself 2, 3, 4 calls this year from people pretending to be from those places. So we're going to start to see more and more of that kind of attack, because it's the easiest way that the fraudsters can get through to us. So you have to have not just all of the regulatory controls in place, but you have to be able to protect customers who are sort of outside of the usual authentication experience.
Now we're going to hear from Benoit Granger, OneSpan's Chief Technology Evangelist, about the challenges banks will face in 2021.
Bank and other organization they need to make the data central to their strategic vision. So in fact, no matter from which industry you're operating in, the new winner, or today the one who are using this data, that's the case with an Apple, with a Google, they are really data-driven. And I believe that the bank have a competitive advantage when it comes to data, because they do have a quantity of data and they do have a quality of this data. So based on this data, they can have a better understanding of about their customer needs and as well evaluate the risk accurately. Something that we see as well to leverage all this data in a global way and not in a silo way, we also see a need to move to cloud technology, where it's really possible to store this information at scale and to start performing some analytics and machine learning driven algorithm to extract the value from this data. So that's very important. Next to that, what we see as well in the ability to succeed is to combine and to as well enrich this data with additional information. So the collaboration with different fintech will be critical in this in the success of this in this strategy, and finally to provide an ecosystem around that is to go to this kind of platform approach where can be plugged all the different technology together, really to leverage this value in a global way for the company and the bank.
Thank you. And you mentioned the ability to plug different technologies into an integrated platform. So can you tell us a little bit about the most important technologies impacting the financial services industry in 2021?
So what we see is that technology is really driving a massive transformation in financial industry. It's driving new model, new experience and interaction with the customer. So during this COVID period, so we do notice that everything is getting digital. So digital is definitely the mainstream, and especially with a mobile channel. So technology is really essential to bring a better user experience in the day-to-day digital life. So we start by providing some new way to engage with a customer online. So with machine learning capability to detect and to read physical passport ID scan. So that's the first technology that is really impacting and improving the way to engage with customer. If we combine this technology with biometric to identify the user, we again provide new capability to the user in his day-to-day digital life. So something that we need as well in terms of biometrics is really the move to the cloud, the fact that thanks to the cloud, the bank can offer and integrate some API at scale. So get access to this latest technology in an easy and fast way so they can deliver new innovative solution to their customer in a minimum amount of time. So really, the fact that the bank are moving to the cloud, public cloud, is something that we see increasing today and that we expect to become the norm in the future.
So speaking of the future, what does the future of digital identity and banking look like?
So maybe we should start by what is the situation today. So when we're talking about digital identity today in banking, especially in the digital banking, I mean, there is no standardized format for digital credential. So there are no standardization method to verify the source and integrity of a digital credential. We have some solutions thanks to technology to scan ID, to perform some liveness detection, but this solution vary from one country to another one. So what is really missing for the future is a standardized way, a global vision to deliver identity, digital identity that would be managed by the user and usable not only in the public institution but as well in the private sector. The way we can expect this to be transformed is with this concept of decentralized or self-sovereign identity. This concept of self-sovereign identity is a very fiable digital equivalent of paper or plastic document that can be stored into the mobile phone and under the full control of a user. But to be successful and to deliver this kind of decentralized identity, there are two components to provide. The first one is a standard protocol, a protocol that is going to be open for issuing, holding, and verifying the digital identity. And today, such a kind of protocol is not available yet. The second thing that is required is a place where we're going to store the verification key or the credential issuance of this different digital identity. So there are two types of technology, two things that we need. First, a standard, and the second one is a secure place where we're going to store the sensitive information. And today what we see some regulator like in Europe with the extension of eIDAS who has a vision to create a European digital identity. This will be an identity that will be universally available. So it can be accessible by any kind of EU citizen and business. It can be used universally as well. So it will be recognized by private and public sector. And finally, it will be protecting personal data. So user will be in full control of their identity. And then the second one, a place where we can store in a very secure way the credential of a user. This is a blockchain technology, the distributed ledger that can offer these capabilities. So combining this new technology and the standardization effort that can be made by the regulator, I believe that in the future, safe sovereign identity will grow and will be the future of what today is a physical identity document will be the similar solution in the digital space, and that we will carry this identity into our mobile phone fully under our control.
Dan, Benoit mentioned that AI and machine learning are the most important technologies impacting financial services companies now and next year. Would you agree with that? And if you do, how do you see them being used by financial institutions next year?
Well, absolutely. I think AI and machine learning are vital on the way that we take customer data and use that to predict usage and try and stop and combat those kind of frauds. So that the fraud I was talking about earlier, the social engineering styles of attack, you can pick up unusual activity on an individual user and make changes about the way things are being done. So it's really important to use that kind of technology. And we will see more and more as we get more data in, the technology can become more effective. But it's also got to be seen in the context of it's a piece of a technology solution. But absolutely, machine learning is a way of providing an extra layer of information and protection that we can use.
We hear a lot about explainable AI. Can you explain what this is and how it will be used in 2021?
Explainable AI is really important as a tool in machine learning and AI moving forwards. Historically, with AI, what we see is a lot of data going in and information coming out, but it's very difficult to understand how the AI has got to those conclusions. It's really important to understand how the AI is coming to the decisions it's coming to, and that's where explainable AI, finding out exactly what it is that it's latching onto to make these decisions, is really important in training your models and fighting fraud moving forwards.
You were speaking about the rise of fraud in 2020 and how that will continue in 2021. Can you tell us a little bit about how technology can be used in 2021 to actually help detect and prevent some of this fraud?
Absolutely. So again, this is where the machine learning elements come in and really add to the toolkit that we have in preventing fraud. You know, we can look at information that you might historically look at, like, you know, who are beneficiaries and things like that. But we can take a lot of more information about the context of the way customers are interacting with our services. So, you know, we can look at the behavioral patterns of a user. When do they tend to use the solutions? Is it all throughout the day, or do people follow a pattern? A lot of people do. So that gives us a predictable model to work from. And then you can start to make more and more decisions based on that information. So by using machine learning, we can look where there's a probability of fraud.
And you spoke about vulnerable users at the beginning of the podcast. Is it safe to say that they will be safer in 2021, or are things just moving in the right direction?
Things are moving in the right direction. There's more to be done. There's a lot more work to be done. And again, we can use the technologies, as we talked about, the machine learning and other technologies around the authentication stack to try and enhance that. User education is really important, but we also need technical controls as well to assist in that. There's multiple layers, and I think that's a key message for anyone out there, is that you can't just rely on sort of one new technology to fix everything.
One of the other trends that seems really strong for 2021, and which Benoit mentioned, is an increase in the use of biometrics. So Connor, can you tell us a little bit about why this is and how you think biometrics will be further adopted into everyday life next year?
Yeah, I think from a biometrics point of view, it's a common sense approach. An individual's identity is wrapped up uniquely in their biometric features. So it's a form of identity that we're all carrying with us. So technology can be developed around that, so that you can use that identity you're carrying with you to prove your identity. And we've seen that already with the likes of document verification and facial comparison, voice biometrics, fingerprint technology, you know, so many different types of biometric technology, all based around an individual's biometric data. I think we've seen adoption of many of those different types, from a basic level where you're unlocking your mobile device, your phone, you're using face technology or fingerprint technology, through to maybe opening up a bank account. Some of the challenger banks using a combination of document verification, facial comparison, anti-fraud devices like liveness detection. So we're seeing a rapid increase in the use of biometrics. I think individuals are becoming more used to that kind of interaction with technology, and are coming to expect it. So I think we've all seen the adoption creeping forward with a relatively rapid increase this year, and I think next year we'll see it expand even more greatly.
Thanks, Connor. Moving from the technology more to the implementation and the actual operational part of this technology, Benoit mentioned that partnering with fintechs will help banks to be successful in 2021. Do you agree? And can you highlight any successful partnerships in the market today?
Yeah, I can take that. I think we spoke about that earlier, in that banks have come to that realization that building technology themselves in this fast-paced world is not efficient enough, it's not quick enough, and they're being left behind by more agile challenger banks who are making use of fintechs. So we're seeing that move to cloud by the major banks in order that they can make use of that of the fintechs and the fintech technologies that are available on the market today. I think a very nice example would be BBVA, the Spanish bank, who invested heavily in a biometrics startup, Das Nano, who now trade as Veridas, and who provide document verification, facial comparison, NFC technology, voice recognition, not just for the bank in their account opening, but across Europe as well, to solve many different use cases, particularly that account opening use case.
Just to add to what you're saying around the use of fintech technology and software as a service, we're seeing more and more banks are starting to build out software as a service based platforms, or consume software as a service based platforms, so they can easily add and remove new technologies as and when they're appropriate. And we're seeing this more and more in the sector.
So if we sat here in a year's time at the end of 2021 and we looked back at the predictions, what is that big one thing that you think will actually happen in 2021, your biggest prediction for the year?
For me, Sarah, I think the adoption of NFC technology is something due to the accuracy and the usability, and NFC enabled devices are, you know, just smarter and more usable now, is something that we'll see an adoption of. I think I also predicted that at the start of 2020 as well. So if I persist with this, I'm bound to be right some year.
And Connor, NFC is near field communication, am I correct?
That's correct, yes. The ability to extract biometric information from an NFC enabled document, maybe an identity card or passport for the UK.
Great, well, that's definitely something to look out for next year then. Dan, what do you think? What is your big prediction for 2021?
Big prediction for 2021. Actually, it harks back to something Benoit was saying, and something I think we're going to see come, I hope, in 2021. Maybe towards the end, because I think there's a lot of work still to be done, but that's the decentralized identification and digital identification in that way. So something working around the distributed ledger or blockchain type technology, but for identification, which means that you are more in control of your own identity, your digital identity, as an individual, and then can reuse that more and more around the world. So I think we're starting to get to the point where this technology that's been promising so much for such a long time will actually start to really come into fruition.
Well, thank you so much, Connor and Dan, for sharing your input. And thank you to Benoit as well. And thank you for listening to this podcast on our predictions for 2021. This has been a podcast from OneSpan. OneSpan helped protect the world from digital fraud by establishing trust in people's identities, the devices they use, and the transactions they carry out. We do this by making digital banking accessible, secure, easy, and valuable. You can find out more at onespan.com.